Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 17th of May. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County First District Supervisor Rex Bone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you're into dog training now, too?
Yeah.
Wow. What a guy.
Yeah. Well, this is a local kid over in Butte County that raises Brad Meyer, who's on the Butte County Sheriff's. He's kind of getting quite a name for himself. We're getting quite a few of our dogs from the local departments or the police canines that, you know, we had the discussion about how great they do for us. So, anyway, he's training. And
so you're flying the flag?
So I'm flying the flag, yeah. I mean,
all right.
His mother's married to my niece. And
if you would have said nepotism, that would have been simple enough. I mean, everybody would follow. Follow that, unless the word got too long for somebody.
There you go. So,
all right. Why do we say goes with the territory?
I would imagine back in the day when they were selling properties, there would be bodies of buildings or something to that effect. And when you went to buy it, they said, well, what about this? And he says, goes with the territory.
Oh, you think so, huh? All right.
That's what Kim Brown told me, so.
Fair enough. If you're offered a new job, it might be a good idea to ask what goes with the territory. Many times, a spot that looks tempting has requirements not immediately apparent that are less than desirable. Since the first traveling salesman hit the road, that's been the case with people who choose this way to make a living. Few, if any, sales territories offer only plums. There's always at least one or two tough nuts to crack and maybe a day or two of nearly impossible schedules. Already widely recognized, the fact that something unpleasant goes with the territory was embedded in speech through the impact of Arthur Miller's hit play, Death of a Salesman.
Death of a Salesman.
Yeah. Nice try.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. That's one person's interpretation. Yeah, what the hell do they know?
Oh, geez. So how's the dog and pony shows going?
You know, we're gonna have a tough budget time. I mean, you noticed that, you know, a year and a half ago we had $140 billion surplus and we're able to fund all these little programs that we were doing.
That would be state
budget, but no. But
when you said now, sounded...
Well, it is we, but now we have a $32 billion deficit. So the spigot that was supporting the state supports a lot of our projects is being cut off, and they funded a lot of the stuff we did. So that's hitting us. Some lower sales tax dollars, which are coming back, I hear. Some of these little ventures are making a minor comeback. We're not building any houses. That's always going to be, no new construction is coming up, and that's in a tough time. I mean, there's some government buildings going on. Obviously, we see them on Myrtle. We see them everywhere. But Humboldt State's got a big project going down and everything. But again, that's not single family homes that, you know.
Well, last time we talked, we had a couple of weird ideas thrown against the wall. Have you had a chance to run any of those past building and planning and is there a possibility to do something to attract, to accelerate, generate?
The problem is the stimulation dollars, you know, to stimulate this are not there. But now, my idea, yesterday there was a discussion on the board about developer fees. And when you first hear it, and then find out, I guess the developer fees, the way the person that brought it forward was interpreting it, or what they said, was not to increase the fees, but just to consolidate fees, I think, or there would be no fee increase.
Like write one check instead of 15?
I guess, and that's hard to do when you have a large project. It's a moving object, and you have to pay for staff time, and it's hard to, we can estimate, but if something goes over, then we're still going to have to go back, and then they still have the same problem. So I didn't quite understand, I guess, because it was adamantly said, well, this isn't to increase fees to the developers, but it's just the name itself implies developer fees. You know, and most other places, a lot of places do it because of to enhance infrastructure with the impacts the new development will bring. Well, the problem is our new development really isn't increasing our population. Our population has been slowly decreasing or not increasing at all. The state as a whole has dropped, 740,000 people, I think it was last year. and that's the state as a whole. So we can't go. But places like Roseville, where I was just in and stuff, they're expanding. The Sacramento area, they've got some expansion. So there's going to be impact. They have to build schools. Well, I don't know if we have to build schools because we used to have 7,000 kids in our schools. Now we're at
about
less than 4,000.
Yeah.
So we have the spaces. We've done the school bonds to enhance our schools. We have
my sense is that it's aging infrastructure that hasn't been paid attention to.
Well, and that's and a lot of that is we had money and we I say this about roads. We used to have 16 barns and 150 people working in public works, and now we have 65 and 6 barns. So that's going to cut back on road, but at the time we were building a lot of really nice things that now we have to maintain. And so it to blame it on somebody else is not the right thing. We should, it's always when things get tight, where can we cut? Where can we cut? And you don't want to.
Well, how much, Rex, is it cut versus not hiring? I mean, that seems to be, in talking to a lot of the folks, they'll go back and say, yeah, we have X number of chairs, so many are empty, and we keep them empty because we don't want to have to come back and ask Mother May I to hire new. Okay. But if they're already, let's say, down 20% in staffing, so the number comes in, you have to cut. There's that, I guess, recognition.
There's a real fine line. Are we really short that 20% since they haven't been here anyway?
Right.
And building and planning, and John Ford, that's a good point. We expanded that department greatly because John was so overwhelmed with cannabis permits. Well, there's no new cannabis permits coming in. There's some existing that are still coming online and things like that. But it isn't that you don't have the line out the door. You don't have the big influx.
The tidal wave hit the shore.
The bulk of it has been done. So now the waters are receding, if you're going to use that analogy. And as the waters recede, we don't really have to pump water. So maybe we don't need as many people. And then you try to figure out. But we still
reassign them somewhere.
We still need to serve the public. And
well, is marijuana that specialized that they don't have transferable skill sets to housing?
They do have transferable. We've just tried to put it in silos, so we don't have a builder saying, "I've been pushed to the back of the pack for cannabis."
It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Rex.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept of developer fees, it's interesting for me, and I suppose you're dealing with this through the budget process, and you're starting to get a little long in the tooth, so you've done this rodeo a couple times, but what things are referenced as brings in so much connotation. Yeah, if you said a building fee, okay, now developer sounds like 250 plus homes, tract home, that kind of thing, not Rex putting a lean-to onto his house.
Yeah, that's not an ADU, it's not anything else. And
but that's a developer.
But it's, yeah.
Or development. But
we're also looking at right now, what was the quote I heard yesterday? $275 to $300 a square foot to build a house.
Yeah.
And that doesn't include the land.
Yeah.
And talking to people, yourself and everything else that are looking at maybe doing something like that, it's a true fact. And I mean that, so then when we talk about housing, we need housing, we need workforce housing, we need affordable housing. Affordable isn't even
a loose term now.
Dictionary.
Also, yeah.
So, the conversation was pretty good yesterday. I appreciate that it was brought forward. I misunderstood that it didn't mean including raising fees. It was trying to consolidate. And actually, you put a carrot out there. If we put a fee on there like that, that will consolidate fees and streamline the process. Now, John Ford says July of this year, we're going to be able to bring in permits over the counter and get things moving right away. So you're going to tell you if you're short things and things. And so they're changing the process. So you said, are we moving people around with different skill sets out of one department that isn't as busy to the other?
Or an area of emphasis within the existing. Yeah.
That's going to take some personnel, and they're adjusting accordingly.
But that's exciting stuff. That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. I mean, and it may stimulate somebody to build. So, you know.
Or not discourage them.
Or not discourage. May not stimulate, but it may not discourage them. So those are good things. I mean, the budget, I mean... I've been here 11 years, and I've had a balanced budget, and everything's been rosy for me. So, you know,
it's funny going back. I forget who was remembering in the 80s and the 90s when it a 20% cut was 20% off of what you had last year.
What we're sitting at,
not projected, not desired, but real deal.
And we've asked, I think, the CAO till we see the mid-year and where we're going to be and mid, you know, get through Measure Z and all that. We've asked for a 10% cut. And then the thing is...
But the frozen position or the equivalent of unfilled position factors into that 10%.
And you have to understand, this is not just privy to the government. There are private sector people out there having to cut back because...
Inflation, 8%?
You take a look around. Right now, where construction is going good, timber is going good.
Humboldt kicking money, there's money in the economy, so there's a lot of things changing.
I haven't read the whole, but the mid-year clawbacks by the new budget that came out Friday from the state has a little bit of clawbacks on things that affect us. So. And I haven't read them all. We're deciphering. We're going through it now to find out what actually it all means. But when you have a $32 billion deficit, you're going to have to tighten the belt. Then, you know, even at that level. So,
are you excited about what's going on Broadway?
Well, you know, it's really funny, and since I drive it so often, it's so funny. I was talking to Brandon Larson, who's the number two at Caltrans, and I had found this morning early. Or last night, that tonight at the city council meeting in Ferndale, there's going to be an update on Fernbridge. Fernbridge is going to have a lot of work done to it. They've re-engineered, they've fixed it, so it's navigable,
it's safe.
And it's safe. You know, and the bridge itself is solid as rock. The approaches still have some issues, so there are some big projects coming, and they're going to explain the timeline and everything else at the Ferndale City Council meeting tonight. So they're trying to, you know, let everybody know ahead of time and affect it as little as possible during the fair and things like that. A lot of this is for the approaches. So a lot of this is going to happen.
Well, that's like the old days. Fixing the approaches. Yeah. I mean, that's what blew out in the flood.
Yeah. So they're doing that. And then on Broadway, if you go to the Caltrans site, the District 1 site, their website or their Facebook site, there's a video and then there is a website that explains everything they're doing on Broadway and they're called pop-ups. And instead of just saying, hey, we're going to do this, they're actually putting the stuff out there for you to experience. And then online, there is an online survey. There's an online survey to do that says, does this work for you? Does this not work for you?
Or you mean they're looking for feedback rather than some of the other approaches?
Yeah, and I mean, Caltrans, and I'm going to have a hard time saying anything bad about Caltrans lately because... The transparency, and that's a brand new word that we've been using the last 5 years. I can't find it in any interviews until about, you know.
No,
but I'm just saying that what they're doing is informing
they're
us
sharing
and
people.
Doing and getting our input, and they're using our input, you know, where it's, you know. But so as, you know.
Like they couldn't have got too much input about those walk-across things, though. That's got to be the weirdest, goofiest thing.
I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, okay, because you just said you weren't going to say anything negative.
We have a group out there organized that, or one guy that is, he gets monies to complain. And I mean, the big thing about Broadway, we have accidents on Broadway. I've been doing a lot of checking.
It's a highway, of course.
It's a highway, and people tend not to walk very responsibly.
Yeah.
And
responsible
so
walkers.
That's it's not necessarily the drivers, because even all the accidents we've had, I don't think any of the drivers have ever been charged with negligence or anything else like that. It's usually turned back to a walker walking 30 feet from a crosswalk, and sure. You know.
Yeah, amazing. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bohm. So, Rex, as you're looking at the budget as best it's known now, either with the state redefining what they're going to do, changing the rules a little bit. Billy wasn't in Hansel this month, but that's got to take some starch out of the sheets a little bit, the fact that the jail expansion can't happen now because it took so long. And now there's an extra $10 million hole that nobody has the money for.
There's a lot of things that aren't going to happen because we've waited so long and costs have gone up and estimates have gone up because the jail expansion is a perfect case. We've had a guy working on Ed Wilkinson, working on it, trying to push it through, but trying to do anything.
But that was sitting at the state for how many years?
Oh, God.
Waiting for their blessing.
And we got denied the first time in 2014. 15, because you had to have the money aside, the matching funds.
Right.
We had the matching funds. We didn't have it we identified it, told them we had them. You know, everything was there. We didn't have it in a separate account marked for it was a clerical error. I mean, and believe it or not, government isn't perfect, but it was a clerical error, and we explained it to them and everything else. We got bounced. And then we got right back in because then we put it in a separate account. We got the, you know.
Right.
And so Mike Downey has pushed. I mean, everything has pushed really hard to. And
now that it's across the line.
And I call it the new jail. But you got to understand what it is it's a service center. You know, we have people that get out. So we have training. We have job fairs there. We have everything else. So. We're trying to build so we don't have recidivism, and we're trying to build for success. And there is successes out there, but we've got to help them, you know. And they've been incarcerated, so they've been out of the loop. But there are, thank goodness, and I don't want to name the companies, so I don't want to call them out, but there's three or four companies that are doing second chance programs that are putting people to work in $23, $24, $25 an hour jobs and not having... No issues.
Yeah.
These people are showing up. They can pass a whiz quiz. They can do everything that needs to be done. And they're finding out that, you know, they spend a lot of time and since incarcerated. And they're finding out that maybe isn't at 20, yeah, I can get through this. At 25, yeah, it's going to be fine. Now at 30 and 35, I don't know if this is the life I want to lead. I mean, there's going to be people that are following that. But there are actually people that want help, and if we can do it and give them training so they're actually being there's a lot of programs going on in our jail. We just don't sit there. They don't just play basketball like you hear them and everything else. There's a lot of things going on. But if we can enhance that so they can get their GEDs because they're spending a longer time in our county jails than they have in the past because of 4757, 109, if we can help these people in any way you want, you know, and I look at the booking sheet, and you know these families and stuff, and they're good kids that have made a great mistake, But if we can get them back on track or help them get them back on track, it saves us money in the long run, provides workforce.
Oh, I don't think anybody questions it. The frustration that I've had expressed to me is that because it's took so long at the state, the monies that we had set aside now aren't enough, and the state isn't willing to recognize that they were the causing agent and backfill in that $10 million.
They've gone back.
Consequently,
a $16 million project is now a $24.5 million project.
And consequently, we're going to have a jail gravel parking lot for more years and not get these services that are really needed.
And up until this year, the state has been, they've done it for other counties, they have backfilled because they realize that, you know, especially our rural counties, you know, and RCRC is fighting for this all the time. The rural counties, they don't have that budget bump that some of these other counties have. We just don't have that flexibility.
Yeah, so, this is just
so,
not
so we
enough.
Need yeah. we need the help. And
so do you have any positive thoughts that there might be monies either state corrections or somewhere?
There is some monies available. Billy's knocking. We're not the only. There's 58 counties, you know, and there's 28 of them doing jail projects. So we're all banging in there for a little bit more money. But what they're doing is the negotiation part is, well, if we give you this much, can you scale your project back a little bit? And maybe we can. Maybe we can scale it back a little bit. I don't know that. I'm not saying that's what we're going to do.
But then don't you have to resubmit and go through all the process again?
No, I mean, expansion, yes. I mean, I think if we come back down at their request, I don't think it's that big of a issue. It's not like the Coastal Commission where you're going to have to go back and have redo everything. So I think they understand. So the jail project was something that, you know, the community enhancement project, whatever we're going to call it, you know, it has been exciting. They've already shown they've put a mental health section up in the top floors where I think they have 8 patients that are having troubling times, and that's been successful. Well, we're going to be able to expand that program, but they're test driving some of the programs they're going to use in the new facility, and they're getting positive results. I mean, and if you can get people out of that circle of,
oh yeah,
you know, we all win.
Yeah.
And then we can cut back the sheriff because there's going to be less people making less things go bump in the night.
I've not heard that element of it. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bohm. As we stand now, what's your confidence level that the budget will be hit, met, and that the county business, while, you know, maybe it's not as everybody would like, but we'll still be able to continue?
You know, as I said earlier, this is ground I haven't had to tread before. But
you got markers. You got markers. You know.
Yeah.
What things are.
I mean, after 11 years and more than 11 years, I've got, and I have. The thing is like we have.
Jimmy's been dead for 11 years.
No, Jimmy's been passed away for I think 9 years. I think it was 2 years after I went into office.
Wow.
I'll look it up now.
Boy, is that a gut check?
No, it is. I just
how
it,
fast
it was kind of nice when he asked me to come in early. He asked if I would come in early and.
Yeah,
and so he could just, and then he was a great resource for me for quite a while. So, I've got
just
a little sign
just blinking.
I've got a sign on my computer. A computer that says, you know, what would Jimmy do? WWJD.
Oh.
And it's not Jesus, it's Jimmy. You know? He was an icon. They, you know. And what's sad is because people turn out, they retire, and everything else. Not as many people know him anymore.
Isn't that the downside of aging?
That's the evolution. But you know, as I think, at the long run, Measure Z, the monies are down.
But that was police, to be expected, you know, and up and
public
down.
Public safety, yeah. Fire, and roads are still my top three. There's a lot of other things we've done a lot of great stuff with. So hopefully we can get our volunteer fire departments so they have all the safe equipment they need.
Basically, we have
enough people out there when there's something goes bump in the night. We have somebody there to go handle that bump and things like that. And then we have to do something with roads. And we're going to have to go to the state and ask for more money, more SB1 monies instead of the what we get. We're going to need more because the state seems to have enough. I mean, they're never going to have enough because we have 1,200 miles of roads. So.
Could Caltrans be an advocate for Tom's department?
They could be. They could be. And they are. They work with us. They work with us. But
lots of joint projects and stuff. But I'm just thinking a recognition is the state of where we are in the county and what is involved with the county. They see it. They know it.
Yeah.
I would think that there might be an opportunity there for them to kind of leverage in a tad.
And speaking of, we've had great relationships with the city of Eureka. On working for Harrison was a great, yeah. Harrison's one of those funny roads. We own half and they own half.
Yeah, it's a goofy thing, huh?
Yeah, it's just one of those things. But it's worked out. We got that done last year, the paving and everything else. Now, the other thing that's coming up, and this will be
Myrtle?
the one that's going to come up that I think people are going to be happy from is from at the Elks all the way through the golf course, is there's going to be a complete overlay. I was talking to Brian Gerving the other day, this summer.
You're going
to
bank the turns, too, so you don't have to slow down?
No, I don't know if they'll bank the turns.
Okay. Inverse bank?
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm excited that the road is going to be better. I am not excited because so much traffic is coming off of Broadway.
Right.
To avoid all the added stoplights, the added safety features we're putting on Broadway. And people are flying down F Street.
Things change when you do something.
So we were hoping to reduce traffic with a stoplight at Oak and F, but there's a project that took a little bit longer and now it's going to cost more money than we can actually spend, even though it was approved. And I can understand, it still bothers me a little bit because Oak and F was going to be a safety feature. It was going to slow traffic down.
Right.
It's going to be, the safe route to school with that big thing in the middle isn't working very well because it's not very safe because it's all full of mud when it's wet, and so it's not an island. It's
and
just
I don't
a lot
think
of trucks hit it.
I don't think you'd want to have your 7-year-old standing on that and feeling comfortable that they were safe.
So they are going to, in conjunction with the city of Eureka, make improvements because most of that is city of Eureka, but we get up above by the Elks stuff.
Right.
But we're all going to tie in together, which is going to make a lot of people happy. But we're still not doing anything to slow speed down on F Street, and they fly on F Street, and the traffic count is increasing as we speak, because as we make more, anybody that lives south of Eureka that works north, i.e. Cal Poly, work on the north side of Eureka, are going to take the shortcut. Well, the shortcut isn't, it's a good wide road, it's a good safe road, but we also have people living on that road with kids, and we have a school right in the middle of it, and that kind of it bothers me. So because I sat at the intersection yesterday for actually a little bit longer than I thought I should have, but I mean I just
fell asleep.
Out.
Fell was, asleep.
Yeah. So, but that's a little fun fact that people are always complaining. So that's going to get an overlay, a much needed overlay. So it'll be nicer, but please. That doesn't mean you can go faster. It doesn't make me think about banking the turns. I'd rather see we bank them the other way so you have to slow down.
Yeah, kind of like on that one at 299 at Redwood Creek. Yeah. Throw the inverse in.
We do try to work with the city when we can. We try to work with Caltrans when we can. Public Works does a great job.
I was just saying with Caltrans, because there are joint projects, there is a lot of interaction between the two. And they're the guys with the big pot, not the small pot of money that they might be able to go to bat.
And they're a great partner. I mean, they've worked really well. Airport, we throw in the airport. We approved yesterday redoing the parking lot, upgrading, doing it that hasn't been changed in how many years, and just cleaning that up a little bit, make it the in and out a little bit easier. It's a big project, FAA.
Are those dedicated funds specifically to that?
Yeah, they're
so
they,
you're not pulling
very minuscule amounts, and then we're also going to be closed. We'll be putting it out a lot more, but we are going to be closed for 12 days in August. We are going to be closed for 12 days in August. It bumps up against the fair and everything else, but we are going to make improvements both in lighting
and the school opening
and the overlay of the runways. Those are big projects, basically funded by the feds through the aviation funds.
Yeah, isn't it like a 90-10 or something like that?
Yeah, it's even a little a hair more now because of increased costs. But Cody's been doing a great job securing us monies for upgrading our airport. And that those things are exciting. We're doing those in tough times. But there are good things happening. It's not all doom and gloom. As I said, we've got a great CAO team that's pulling us through the budget and giving us a lot of options to get through it.
Just keep lowering your head and running hard, huh?
Yeah.
All right, bud. Thanks for coming by.
Appreciate it.
See everybody tomorrow.